This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hom Sairam to our listeners. Welcome to Saturday News number 1122. And today we'll be hearing a story on Iswarama. So who was Iswarama? So I offer my most loving and humble pranams, Lord's feet of my beloved Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So the story on Iswarama is related through Rito Sai in Prasanthi. So let's hear part one today.
Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha.
Is coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The ashram is gearing up for a big day tomorrow when the first lady of the Sai movement, the silent spiritual force behind the Sai mission, will be fondly remembered and honored. On 6th of May in 1972, Srimati Ishwaramba Raju, passed on after calling out to her son, God incarnate Bhagwan Baba, at his Vrindavan ashram in Bangalore. Today, around the globe and in every part of India, including Prashanthi Nilayam, this day sees millions of acts of kindness being performed in her name, in her honor, and in her glory. You see, life in Prashanthi Nilayam always flows full speed along this river of love. So as always, Baba's dedicated doctors are performing life-saving surgeries for the poor and the needy as we speak, and these are patients from every possible social, economic, cultural or religious backgrounds. Baba's top-notch schools and university colleges are getting ready for the fresh academic year that will begin on June 1st, 2016. And in this once parched land where water was only fluoride-laden at one time, there is ample clean water supply today. A place that a few decades ago was described as stone's throw from the Stone Age is today a well-laid-out township with a thriving ashram, modern amenities, a town that is home to India's leading world-class schools, university system, hospitals, museums, planetarium, airport, railway station, great connectivity to the national highway, paved and tree-lined avenues, and an international and pan-India community that calls it its home. Behind this miracle is a humble, unlettered, simple peasant woman who was born into a rustic family of meager means. A person who never made it to the Forbes magazine or Time magazine's list of who is who or to the list of most influential Indian. She was never featured or recognized as a kingmaker or an agent of colossal change that she became, ever so silently, simply and sweetly. But her soul was evolved enough and her heart was pure enough that the Supreme Consciousness selected her from the billions of aspiring souls to make the divine descent into human form. While human experience bestows upon us this illusion that we can somehow pick our life partner or our friends in life, only God has the privilege to pick his parents. And even God needs a vehicle of a mother to incarnate as an avatar. Such is the glory of motherhood, and such is the glory of the mother that God picked for his recent visit to planet Earth in the divine form of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. In this connection, Bhagwan Baba declared, and I quote him, "Ishwar Amba was the chosen one. I chose her to be my mother. That is the intimate relationship between Mother Ishwar Amba and myself." Unquote. In the annals of Sai history, Mother Ishwar Amba is possibly the one person who deserves the title of a divine saint worthy of veneration and worship, because everything from the present day Prashanthi Nilayam to the Sai healthcare network to the Sai education system spread over 4 university campuses, to the multiple schools, to the Sai drinking water supply, everything owes their origin to this divine lady. Yes, you and I are who we are, heirs to the divine throne and divine legacy of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, only because of this one person, Her Holiness Mother Ishwar Amba. Today on Morning Glory, let us recall her life, her times, her dilemmas, and her power as a silent game changer through this 2-part radio documentary dedicated to Mother Ishwar Amba. Over now to the mother of the avatar who became mother to the world. I hope you will learn as much as I did while researching this topic. We eagerly look forward to your feedback, dear listeners, and your comments and suggestions to this episode of Morning Glory, as well as to any Radio Sai program. You can always reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And before I play the file and bid you sign up, I would just like to dedicate this special episode of Morning Glory at the lotus feet of her divine worship, Mother Ishwar Amba. Have a listen, please, and Jai Sai Ram. Mother Ishwar Amba is the mother exclusively selected by the Supreme Divine Consciousness for his descent in human form as Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. What qualified the Blessed Lady for this historic honor? That is a truth that only the divine may know. But what we do know is that she was humility and simplicity personified. her persona exuded a love that embraced all humanity, especially the poor, the sick, and the needy. Mother Ishwarama was born in modest circumstances in remote and rural India during the British Raj at the tail end of the 19th century. She had no access to any formal education. Confined to her little world of fending for her family, she lived a pious and contented life in an isolated village with no access to the outside world. Yet today, Sai devotees spread across the great nation of India and the world adore her and strive to live by her example. Her life, just like the story of the Lord she bore, is truly a saga of sacrifice. So blessed is her soul that out of the millions on this earth, the Lord decided to confer upon her the greatest role a woman can ever aspire to play. Mother to the avatar, mother to the world. Today, let us learn from the life of this humble and utterly simple but enigmatic lady who bore the blessed son, destined to be the teacher to the world. We will seek glimpses into her life as we piece together the puzzle of how she alone, among millions, qualified for this honor. On May 6, 2001, during Ishwaramma Day celebrations, Bhagwan Baba openly declared,
"Ishwaramma was the chosen one. I chose her to be my mother. That is the intimate relationship between Mother Ishwaramma and myself."
What a blessing and a privilege to be the chosen mother. Yet, this role came with its own mother load of responsibilities. As Mother Ishwaramba's life reveals, her path was a mix of challenges and lessons. As she tossed between agony and ecstasy. As the chosen mother whose little boy came into her life with his own game plan, she was torn between her maternal instinct to protect and nurture her darling son and the need to let go when he declared his mission. She had to accept his divinity and stay as a devotee, receiving his benedictions. But in her role as a mother, she steered his love for humanity into tangible acts of philanthropy. In retrospect, few women have influenced the destiny of this planet as silently and as significantly as this godly mother did. The story of Ishwarama began as Namagiri Amma. During a divine discourse on Ishwarama Day 2000, Bhagwan Baba remarked,
"Ishwaramma was born in such a poor family that she did not even have proper food to eat. All that she had to eat was ragi sankati. Ishwaramma was illiterate. When I see the egoistic attitude, perverted mentality and ostentatious behavior of the present day educated people, I feel it was better that Ishwaramma did not have any schooling."
Modest, humble and pure, her name shines in the league of the likes of Mother Kaushalya, Mother Devaki, Mother Yashoda and Mother Mary. Neither she nor her husband Peda Venkamma Raju questioned her father-in-law Kundamma Raju when he changed her name from her birth name of Namagiri Amma to Ishwarama. The reason for this unusual move was the dreams of the family preceptor, Venka Avaduta, instructing the family matriarch of an impending divine boon. So long before Swami was born, Namagiri Amma became Ishwarama, meaning the mother of Ishwara or God. Many years later, a pandit, well-versed in the Puranas, asked Swami a pertinent question. Was your incarnation a pravesha, an entrance, or a prasava, a conception? Turning to Ishwarama seated in front, he asked her to tell what had happened that day near the well after her mother-in-law had warned her. Mother Ishwarama revealed that her mother-in-law had dreamt of Satyanarayana Deva and had cautioned that she should not be frightened if something unusual happened to her through the will of God. that morning, when Ishwaramma was at the well drawing water, she saw a big ball of blue light rolling towards her. She felt it glide into her, and she fainted. "There, you have the answer," Swami said to the Pandit. "I was not begotten. It was a pravesha, not a prasava." When the sacred moment arrived in the early hours of the morning on that holy Monday, the day dedicated to Lord Shiva, on the 23rd of November 1926, the chosen mother had just consumed blessed food or prasadam given to her by her mother-in-law after an hour-long Satyanarayan puja. She relished the sanctified food, and before the sun had spread its light on the Ratnakara home, the house was bright with jubilation, joy and gaiety. The long-awaited son was born. Those present were blessed to witness the first miracle of the Divine Personality. Baba's biographer, Professor N. Kasturi, describes it thus.
A mat covered with a thick bedspread had been placed in a corner of the room where the labor had begun. And now the baby was placed on it by the grandmother. Suddenly they found the bedspread rising up and falling down on either side of the baby. The grandmother grasped the child and held it close, and to her utter shock, she found a serpent coiled beneath. Of course, snakes there were in plenty at Puttaparthi, creeping through crevices, crawling along the walls and hiding in holes. But a serpent in the lying room pretending to be a bed? It was the role of Adisesha for Lord Vishnu, who rested on its coils. This was the incarnation's first miracle. When Mother Ishwaramma was asked about this epic event, she confessed that she had been so filled with joy at the birth of a son that she had never even noticed the agitation all around.
Being a mother to such a special child proved to be a baffling experience for Ishwaramba, one she would have to grapple with for decades to come. For everything about her little boy was so unusual. With his bewitching looks and captivating smiles, little Satya became the darling of all around him. He was born with talents in music, dance and poetry, and his divine leelas enacted right from early childhood would bring joy to many. As for Ishwaramba, she was the one who fretted over Swami every moment and suffered the most from his indifferent to this world attitude. Why wasn't his behavior like that of all other children, she wondered. Satya never asked for any particular food or clothes. A bundle of clothes would be brought from Hindupur or Anantapur, and one of the grown-ups would call the children in the family, asking each one to choose for himself. But Satya always sat aloof until the others had made their choices, and then he would take whatever was left behind, rejected by the others. He never seemed to have any desire or wish of his own, but his face would light up when he saw the other children happy. When asked by his mother what he really wanted, a smile was his only answer. The mother would hug him close and try to bring him to confide his wishes to her. "Satya, tell me, what do you want? I will give it to you," she would say. "I do not need anything," was his only answer. "Whatever you give me, I will accept. That is enough for me. I will not choose." Years later, Ishwaramba would still wonder what made her little boy so deeply sober and serious. At last she began to think if the label Brahmagyani or a realized soul the village elders had stuck on him was indeed a tribute and not a mockery. Dr. J. Lakshmi Gopinath, the warden of the Anantapur campus of the Sri Sathya Sai University, is a long-serving devotee of Bhagwan Baba. She was privileged to grow with Bhagwan as her guide and guardian and has had the opportunity of watching the Divine Mother at close quarters for many years. She recalls one of Mother Ishwaramba's major concerns for her son.
And that's what it is, that Bhagwan Baba descended to the earth and became the wonderful son of the wonderful Mother Ishwaramba. I have visited their house in the village. Naturally, they were all village houses. And Mother Ishwaramba came to stay in the old mandir, Baba asked her. But she would also go home and all that. But the most wonderful thing was, she would always be near Swami and very diligently see to it that he eats well, because Swami was a very small eater. He never bothered about his food. So whenever Swami was turning this side or that side, she would slowly serve some food on his plate. And he would look at her mischievously. That was a wonderful sight to see. Whatever it was, she knew he was God. She knew it, much more perhaps than the others did. But she never forgot that he was her beloved son. That was the most bewitching part that all of us witnessed. When Baba used to sit, and she also used to sit, and he would talk to her so lovingly, tease her, and then she would laugh, and then she would be so happy those moments. But there were times when Mother Ishwaramba was extremely concerned about Bhagwan. And she would always feel that she should eat better. Of course, it was in the old village days, you see. And she would bring the food all the way from home and serve it to Bhagwan. The sisters also used to bring. And of course, we were witnesses to it.
It took Ishwaramba a long time to reconcile herself to this avataric trait of her son. Whenever she was around, she personally supervised the preparation of the menu for Swami by going into the host's kitchen. She believed that Swami would eat a few more spoonfuls if the cuisine was Telugu, or better still, if it was genuine Royal Seema, the region to which Puttaparthi belonged. When Swami was at Jamnagar with the Rajmata of Navanagar in Gujarat, Ishwaramba feared that the Gujarati dishes might not be acceptable to her son. She smuggled herself into the palace kitchen and sought permission to prepare a little charu, a soup based on boiled pulses, so Swami would have at least some food of familiar taste. Mother's concern for Swami extended to every detail of his life. Apart from his Spartan food habits, another subject which troubled her was Swami's travels. Swami was giving himself so freely to seekers across India, and she was always apprehensive of him leaving Puttaparthi, even if it was for only a day, to a nearby city or town. So imagine her distress when she heard about the planned trip to East Africa in 1968. She was extremely nervous. Not much was known about Africa in those days, and the popular impression was that it was a dark continent full of wild animals, savages and cannibals. Ishwaramba had heard this folklore and feared Swami would be in danger if he went there. She resolved to have the trip cancelled and expressed her reservations to someone involved with the expedition. The person replied, "Mother, do not worry. Swami will be visiting only big cities where he will be absolutely safe. No threats from animals or savages there." Ishwaramba was dissatisfied with the reply and felt hurt that the person was making light of a serious matter. She approached someone else, and he too gave her a patient hearing and then replied, "Amma, have no fear. Swami will have a very high security protection." Ishwaramba felt frustrated that no one was taking her misgivings seriously. She sought out a senior devotee and conveyed her worst fears to him. This devotee said, "Mother, it is true there are many dangers in Africa, But how can they affect Swami? He is God, is he not? Hearing this, the mother became furious and shouted back, "You fool, I know Swami is God, and you know he is God. But do those savages and wild animals in Africa know he is God?" Perhaps Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath's father, late Sri Vitthal Rao, was among the devotees that Ishwarama had initially sought help from to cancel the trip. She explains.
And one of the incidents that I would like to narrate, Baba's trip to Africa was decided. And all those who were concerned with it, they made all the arrangements, etc. What mother did, she came to my father and then she said, "Vitthal Rao, yemi Vitthal Rao, mirandro swamini adaviki pampichesestunnare, uddu uddu meerevudu che akkada pedda pedda yenugulu unnayata, pulilu unnayata, chirutalu unnayata, akkada unde manushulu nallaga peddaga manushulne tinestaratta. మా స్వామి ఇంతే ఉన్నారు, వద్దు బాబు, చెప్పండి స్వామికి, ఆ ఆఫ్రికాను ఏదో ఒకటి, స్వామి అక్కడ వెళ్ళకూడదు, మా స్వామి ఎలాగ అక్కడ ఉంటాడు, చిరుతలు పులులు, స్వామి ఇంతే ఇంత ఉన్నాడు, వద్దు బాబు, మీరు స్వామికి చెప్పాలి." షీ వుడ్ వీప్ అండ్ వెన్ స్వామి వుడ్ హియర్ ఇట్ హీ వుడ్ జస్ట్ స్మైల్, దట్స్ ఆల్. బట్ స్వామి డిడ్ గో టు ఆఫ్రికా అండ్ ఇట్ వాస్ వెరీ సక్సెస్ఫుల్. And all the black people also revered Swami. So wonderful ovation to Swami in Africa. And how he loved the Africans. How he treated them. And at one time he said, "There is absolutely no difference between man and man in color. He may be black, he may be white, he may be whatever it is." And he took up for an African who had been sort of badly treated by the whites. And then he said, "It is character, it is love matters. It is not the color of the skin." And there is a proverb actually, "Beauty is skin deep." That's all about it. We have got just our outer sort of skin. You remove our skin, we are just the same, flesh and blood. And it's only to Africa that mother did not go. They would take mother everywhere he went.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.